Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Chifamba, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. How are you doing?
I'm more than well.
Oh, fantastic, man. Great to hear that. Great to hear that. We're continuing to talk about this very powerful topic. And I want us to, you know, cover a few things today. But let's begin with Romans 8:26, which says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." So Jesus helped us by having a template here in the form of what we have come to know as the Lord's Prayer. Now, what are the underlying principles, Pastor, that we can learn from Christ's demonstration of the Lord's Prayer? Please take us through the, if possible, line by line, and show us how we can apply, you know, the same formula in how we pray.
Hey, there are quite a number of things that are interesting for a Christian to master from the Lord's Prayer. I don't know if taking us line by line would have enough time.
Oh, okay.
But I will do my best to walk us line by line.
Mm-hmm.
Starting when you pray, say, "Our Father."
Mm-hmm.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There is a great lesson for us to master there. Our Father, who art in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is actually teaching us one thing, that there are quite a number of fathers that we have. We have earthly fathers, our biological fathers. Some might have ancestors and believe in the ancestral worship. Those are our fathers. Mm. But Jesus says, when you pray, master this one, you need to pray to your Father who art in heaven. So you are addressing it to the Father who art in heaven. So our needs, our daily needs, we are sending them to our Father who art in heaven.
Mm.
So master that one is number one. Then hallowed be thy name. We need to understand that when we are praying, it's not just an act of communication. Yesterday, I think we covered something, that our prayer is communicating, opening your heart unto God as if he's your friend, for he is our friend anyway. But now when we are saying, hallowed be thy name, he is teaching us another thing, that, okay, it is an act of worship. So when we are praying, we are also worshiping. So meaning to say, when we are communicating with our Father who art in heaven, we don't just communicate as if we're talking to our friend, our age mate. You know, when I'm talking to you, I can go like, "Hey, Excel, what's up? How you doing?" I don't really care about the language that I use when we are just our best of buddies. But this time around, even if he is our friend, we then need to come to him in reverence. And as we are coming to him in reverence, we need to pay it with our worship. And we need to, you know what, respect his name, because there is also power in his name. There is also power in his name. That's one other principle that we should master in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. There is power in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is power in the name of our God. All things are won through him. Battles are won through him. When we celebrate, we need to give him credit. So that's one principle that we should also master as we are doing the Lord's Prayer. Then he goes on to say, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Another principle that teaches us that here we are just but strangers. We are passing by. We are sojourners. So as we are passing by, while at least we are here, we need to pray for the kingdom to come. I'm tempted to drive you a little further when Jesus says, you know what? I pray that you are not supposed to be moved from planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
but as you hear, remember that you are also passing by. I'm paraphrasing that particular verse where Jesus is speaking about us, not saying, dear Father, don't remove them from Earth, but give them power to sail through Earth. We are going from Eden to Eden. We are movers. We are strangers. We're not supposed to be permanent here. Hence, as we pray, that thing should be in our daily talk. Lord, we are moving. Lord, we are strangers. Lord, we are passers. Give us the strength so that when everything has been said and done, we're in a position to see your kingdom. Even if we rest For before Christ comes, some of us will die, will rest. Even if we rest, as we rest, may we rest knowing that your kingdom is coming again. As we live, may we live knowing that your kingdom is coming again. Our testimony should be, his kingdom is coming again. We are nothing but strangers here. We are passing by. As we pass by, Lord, help us to see your kingdom. So that's another principle that we find in the Lord's Prayer, to say, as we pray, let's remember we are strangers and are pilgrims on planet Earth. We are passing by. As we pass by, our eyes are on the prize that awaits us by and by. Our eyes are on that heavenly Canaan, which we can now see from afar, which we can now see and which we can now smell if we are to smell it. So that's another principle in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, as we are doing what we are doing, our daily lives should attest to that we are Christians. Remember when the character of Christ, one writer says, when the character of Christ is reflecting upon his children, he will then what? He will then come. But for the character of Christ to reflect upon us, we need to do a very simple thing. Ask for the Lord's will to be done. Not our will, but the Lord's will. Actually, Jesus, him being an example of a Christian life, he demonstrates that in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to Gethsemane, he is like, you know what? Lord, I pray that this cup may it pass. But however, let it not be my will, but your will.
Mm.
So we are Christians. As we are Christians, we would pass through difficult moments. We would pass through easy moments. We would pass through joyous moments and painful moments. But when we are passing through those phases, let Christ's will be done in our lives. Let him approve. Let him wrap a stamp of everything that we are doing. In our decision-making, let's ask ourselves a simple question. Is he with us or he is not with us? Am I alone or he is with me? Blessed are those who take decisions, crucial life decisions, with God involved. So hence Jesus says, you know what? As you pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will that is happening here on earth should correspond with that one which is in heaven. Then all, Lord would actually see us that we are now fit like Enoch to get into the heavenly Canaan. Then he will come and take us. So he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he then speaks about our daily bread, which I must underscore that these are two specific breads that we need as Christians, the physical bread and the spiritual bread. Let me start with the spiritual bread. As Jesus is saying, give us this day our daily bread. The spiritual bread, hey Lord, point us to our daily food for our spiritual growth. One Christian needs a very simple thing for him to grow spiritually. You need to feast on the word of God. So as I do whatever I'm doing, let me remember that God has written something about it. You know, I love the book of the biographies. You go through it, Genesis 1, verse 1, to Revelation chapter 22, verses 21. You'll enjoy every situation that we are faced with. Whether we are happy, whether we are sad, it's there in the Bible. So, Lord, as I live, give me the daily bread. In the days of being triumphant, point me to the Bible. Let me see those that were triumphant on earth. How did they celebrate? Least in my celebration, I do that is not your will. I am, let me go back to the Bible. Let me check those that were sad. How did they do it? Least in my sadness, I insult your Lordship. I've seen Christians who, when they are passing through difficult moments, they actually insult God. Where is God when things are like this? I'd rather not worship God. Let me leave this God of it. Our mourning becomes an insult to God. Yet if we could be in a position to say, okay, when things are bad, let me go back to the Bible and check. Oh, a perfect example, Samuel's mother, without a kid, she ran to church. She didn't run to the Sangomas. They were there, the Sangomas, by the way. They are not new. They were there. She didn't run there to get power from them, but she went to church and cried, oh, Lord, if you give me a son, I will return the son to you. Why can't I do the same? So I'm simply saying, give us this day our daily bread. every situation of us is there in the Bible. Let's go there and search. Lord, when we are going through such and such a moment, what should I do? When I'm going through bereavement, what are you saying? When I'm going for a wedding, when I'm preparing for a wedding and getting married, what should I do? When life is good, what should I do? When life is sad, what should I do? Then the second bread that I want us to take note of is our daily bread. God has said to us, you know what? If I can provide for the sparrows, what more you? I will provide for you. He demonstrated that he is capable of feeding people. You'll remember the story of the 5,000 men, which actually, when we study closer, you'll discover it's 5,000 families, because women and children are not counted. So if he fed the 5,000, surely he can feed us. So we need to pray for our daily provisions, for our foodstuffs. Lord, our groceries, our bread baskets are running out in my family. Please provide for me. He will surely provide, for he has provided before. You remember Elijah. You remember, the list is endless. I might take time mentioning so and so, but the list is endless. God has been in a position of providing daily food, physical food for his people. As we pray for prayer, we are also praying for that, to say, okay, we don't just eat. When I'm given food, I don't just eat. Let me not just eat. Let me thank God, from whom all blessings come from, and say, dear God, thank you for the food that is before us. And when we've done that, we have excelled when it comes to that one. Actually, we've even proven that we are those lepers, that we are that leper that goes back to say thank you, as opposed to those that actually went away when they were blessed. Then let me race with time. He also mentioned in the Lord's Prayer that forgive us our sins. So we need to ask for forgiveness of sins.
Yes, yes.
Why forgive sins? Your sins, Isaiah will say, your sins are a barrier between you and God. So you need to ask for forgiveness of sins. Forgive us our sins as we forgive. Now master that one, underline that one, as we forgive. So we're saying, dear God, we are undeserving. We are asking for forgiveness. But why are we asking for forgiveness? It's because you have forgiven. I'm actually tempted to say, if we come to him and say, Lord, forgive us our sins, when we have not forgiven others, our sins will not be forgiven. So we need to balance that one up. Otherwise, many times we'll be lying to him. What he wants to do, he wants us to live a stress-free life. I don't know whether you've noticed, but if you've noticed, you'll agree with me. If I have someone that I have not forgiven, I'm actually the one who is getting hurt as days unfold. Especially if the person of it has not noticed that he has made a mistake or he has erred against me. He will be living a free life, but whenever I see him, I'm like, that person. I don't really appreciate him. At the end of the day, such little grudges affect our health. And yet when Jesus is speaking about our health issues, he says in the account of 3 John verse 2, I wish above all that you be in good health. So forgiveness of our sins, as we forgive, actually frees us as well. Then he mentions the aspect of being led not into temptation. On our own, we cannot deal with the devil. He is too cunning. He is too clever for us. We can't match him one-on-one. But if we ask for God's power, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. If we ask for his power, he would actually help us to navigate our way and escape temptations. So on a daily basis, as we pray, one principle is to say, hey, dear God, I cannot walk alone. I cannot dare walk alone. I need you to be with me. Then when he is by my side, he will guide me. And as he is by my side, I need to do a very simple thing, my friend. I need to listen to his voice. For he constantly tells us what to do, when to do, and how to do. Hence, yesterday I was saying he is never silent. He will respond at the best of times. But before he responds, he gives us indicators. He even gives us peace in our day-to-day decisions. So that's another principle that we pick. Being led not into temptation, but being delivered from evil. We are evil beings. Naturally, I'm an evil person. I'm a wicked person. Hence, even Paul actually reminds me that I'm a wretched man. He points it out, all wretched men that I am, who will deliver me? Then, praise God, verse 5, in Romans 7.
Mm.
Praise God for verse 25. He says, I thank God who delivers us through Jesus Christ. So Jesus himself mentions it in the prayer. Deliver us from evil. Then for thine is the kingdom.
Oh, man.
The kingdom was God. You created everything. You have created us in your own image. Remember Genesis 1, verse 25, 26. He says, let's create man in our own image, after our own likeness.
Mm.
So if we are to go back to fix the settings, God is simply saying, hey, friend, let's go back to where you are. Originally, you were sinless. For you to be sinless, you need to be delivered from evil. Then, when that has been done, remember, the kingdom is yours. For thine is the kingdom. The power is yours. The power to do it is yours. All these other power are just but sinking sand.
Yeah.
They expire. Let me put it that way. There is no power that is permanent self for the power of Jesus Christ himself. Hence, that's why the Bible goes on to say, there is no name under heaven and earth of which you must be saved.
Mm-hmm.
That's Acts. Acts Luke writes and says, you know what? All the other names have got no power save for that, for the name of Jesus Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
So the power, the glory, be given unto you. Why are we giving him the glory? Because all these other little gods with small letter G have failed. They have limitations. But this one does not have limitations. One South African artist once sang a song. He says, there are gods who have eyes but cannot see. There are gods who have ears but cannot hear. There are gods, yes. Yeah. But we've got a God who can hear, who can see, because he's a God who is able. So from what I'm looking at, from what I'm trying to understand from the Lord's Prayer, I think these are the principles that God is teaching us, which are, let me say, hidden under the carpet, which are we are actually supposed to master them so that we can enjoy communicating with God. As I alluded yesterday, I said prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is communicating with our friend. So for us to have a good communication background, for us to have, good communication system, we need to master what I'm trying to say this afternoon. To say, hey, as we come to God, let's master the hidden things that he is giving us. Why are we meant to master this one? Maybe let me end with that one. Why are we meant to master this one? So that our prayers will be a sweet aroma in the throne of God.
Oh, yes.
If we master these things, our prayers are not an abomination. If I'm praying and saying, dear God, help me to forgive. Forgive me of my sins that I have done, yet I know I have not forgiven somebody. I'm tempted to say my prayer does not even make sweet aroma in the heavenly sanctuary. But what does it do? My prayer becomes an abomination. For he is a Pharisee who will say, Lord, forgive me. I have forgiven, but deep down in my heart, I have not forgiven. So in short, it's just that our time is limited. You gave me a very short time. If you had given me an hour, I would have unpacked quite a number of things.
Yes,
so I was trying to rush, but I take solace in the fact that tomorrow, day after, and the day after, we'll meet.
Definitely.
Maybe we'll done things that God wants us to master. For if we do not master the art of communicating with him, our friendship is a dead one.
Yeah.
Hence, prayer is important.
Beautiful. Pastor, definitely thank you for that promise as well. Now, before I let you go, can prayer change the course of events? I mean, as in, does God not already have a plan that cannot be altered no matter how much we pray and fast? I mean, can prayer cause God to change an outcome that he may have already decided?
It can. It can. And what I'm saying now is biblical. You remember the king? King Ezekiah?
Mm-hmm.
The message had been sent. God tell him he is dying. He is resting with his fathers. But Ezekiel went like, no, Lord, I feel like I've got something to do for you. He prays to God and says, dear God, why don't you visit me again? Give me life, I beg. And the God being God, sometimes, despite the fact that he knows what's best for us, he allows us to test certain things so that we can see that, okay, this thing you can get bent. This thing is not good for you. Ezekiel, as he had prayed to God and pleaded, God says to the prophet, hey, go back and tell him I've added 15 years. So prayer can change certain events. There is power in prayer. We are communicating with God as our friend. And master this one. He is a friend. He is an understanding friend. No, he took the role of a father. Sometimes when you ask something from your friend, he will say, okay, in as much as I didn't want to give you, because you've asked, here you go. It's a friend.
Yep.
But when he takes the fatherly role, because he knows our genuine intentions and our character, when he takes the fatherly role, sometimes he is going to go like, you know what? I'm not giving you this one. My grace is sufficient for you. Just like he said to Paul. When Paul was saying, dear God, now, you know what, my friend, please restore my eyesight 100%. Even like, oh, I'm not going to do that. My grace is sufficient for you.
Yeah.
So prayer can change certain events. Prayer can refocus certain things that we were thinking, okay, everything is written in pen and paper. Your life is going to move ABCD like this, but prayer can change those. It can change those things. And God can give you what is best for you.
Beautiful. So prayer changes things indeed. Well, Pastor, let me not keep you any longer. Our time is also far spent. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow, same time and same place, right?
Yes, definitely. We're going to be connecting tomorrow, praying that God will give us life and give us good network today. You remember yesterday we structured network.
Yes. All right. No, thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.